This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca. The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Welcome to Lunch with a Healer. Today we have a featured interview with Dr. Sherry Kaplan, both a medical and integrative physician from Toronto. Dr. Kaplan is the founder and director of VitalityMD, a unique wellness-based facility in Midtown Toronto. Today's episode is filled with a lot of important information about women's sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And then we get into the meat of the episode, which is the O shot, O standing for orgasm. Yep. We are finally discussing women's sexual pleasure. And Dr. Kaplan is able to enhance it, increase libido, and decrease stress urinary incontinence. You know, the sneezing thing, ladies? Sounds too good to be true? It's the real deal. And I've done it. And all I can say is, oh my God. VitalityMD is generously giving our listeners a promotional discount. So when you call into the clinic, don't forget to mention that you heard about it through Lunch with a Healer, and they'll take good care of you. So without further ado, here is our interview with Dr. Sherry Kaplan. We're thrilled to have you here today. I know you're a very busy lady, and we have lots to discuss. So let's dive in. The first thing I would love for you to do is introduce yourself to our audience. And if you could tell us a bit about the clinic, VitalityMD, because it's truly a unique clinic. What sets it apart from other anti-aging or health and wellness clinics? Let's hear a bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I could just talk like, an hour long just on, what I do and what I created VitalityMD, but I'll basically start. So hi, I'm Dr. Sherry Kaplan. I'm the medical director of VitalityMD. So I started off as a family physician who specializes in women's health and worked at Women's College and at Sunnybrook and taught residents. And then, did very much conventional medicine, delivered babies, did family practice, did a little bit of everything. And then when I started having my own perimenopausal symptoms, I started kind of realizing that the system wasn't working for me. And so just to sort of put you back, so that was about 2010. It was around the time where the WHI, the Women's Health Initiative, had come out and said that all hormones carry the same risk and there's an increased risk of breast cancer. And my mom died of breast cancer at 44 and I never went on the birth control pill and, wasn't all that interested in hormones, especially with that information that it's going to increase my risk. But at the same token, I'm very smart. I graduated medicine at the age of 24, got in early, skipped grades all along. And so, for me, it was like all of a sudden my brain wasn't working as well as, hear it once. And it was like, I can repeat it, teach it and whatever. And then all of a sudden I needed to write it down. And then my energy was down and, I was gaining weight and feeling tired. And so a lot of my patients originally, when they came in complaining of feeling tired, I'm gaining weight. And I would say to them, oh, you're not eating right or exercising right. And then when it happened to me, I was like, I'm eating right, I'm exercising right, I know what to do. Oh my God, it must be hormones. And so that's where I ended up going out to doing a lot of conferences and education in the US. I started on bioidentical hormones and realized that hormones do have different risks. And then basically learned about integrative medicine, which is very different than conventional medicine. And they call it alternative, but I really don't feel it's alternative. It's kind of more leading edge. It's kind of looking at root causes. So, what I practice now is another term might be lifestyle medicine, but what do? I tell people every day how to eat right, exercise, de-stress, meditate, balance hormones, and replace deficient nutrients. Well, that doesn't sound alternative. It's like, I'm kind of making our machinery work better. I'm giving the body the tools, the nutrients, the things it needs to heal itself or to work more effectively. Just like a car, you know, not that I'd like to equate ourselves to a car, but, you know, if you don't give it the right gas or oil or change the spark plugs, it's not going to work effectively. And unfortunately, we tend to eat based on taste and not necessarily what our body needs. And also there's a lot of environmental things that happen that kind of are hits to our system. And we need to sort of do things better so that our health is better. And so that's kind of sort of where I come from, where I kind of do all these things and realize that I needed a clinic and a team to help do that. So like I would give my patients all this information, but then they didn't have where to do it or how to do it or get the support. And then by building Vitality MD, which is a three-story building that each floor kind of was dedicated to something different to help them. So like upstairs, we originally were doing fitness. So like, you know, yoga, dance, bar class, Pilates. We had cooking demos, patient education. And the main floor was the medical or the wellness where, you know, we did functional medicine and you know, help women with bioidentical hormones. We had a weight loss clinic, IV therapy. We do a lot of iron infusions because a lot of women I see are low on iron because of heavy bleeding because their hormones aren't balanced. And then the lower level was sort of detox, de-stress, and spa. So infrared saunas, we did have some massage. We don't have it at the moment. And we have a whole Medi spa for anti-aging and rejuvenation as well. And then in the last little bit, I've been really focusing on women's sexual health. You know, we brought in the O-Shot, which is PRP, to the private area. We brought in the Vivive that helps with vaginal laxity and stress urinary incontinence. We have the FemiLift. So we have a gamut of services. And I should also say we're not just for women, that we do men as well. And that we also, I have Dr. White here. Like I see men too, but Dr. White does more of the P-Shot for men. So it's the equivalent to the O-Shot for women that we'll come back and talk to because I know, you know, you're going to have tons of questions to ask me. And yeah. What sets us apart is that there's not many clinics, never mind in the city, but in Canada, that really have a true integrative approach and sort of can address all these different issues from a very different perspective.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to me. And I'm always very respectful of any doctor who starts to think out of the box and realizes that there's a lot more to the way that the medical system is set up right now. And maybe what we should do is first educate our audience as to what exactly a hormone is and what it does in the body, how important they are, and why we should pay attention to them.
Well, I mean, hormones are essentially signals that go, you know, are released in one area of the body and then it goes to a different area and tells the body to do something. But in terms of hormones, just to be clear, because a lot of people, there's different types of hormones, and often women think or people think hormones are really talking about estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, but there's DHEA, and then there's actually insulin and thyroid and cortisol and leptin. So there's a zillion different hormones. And also when you're talking about hormone balance, it doesn't always need to be talked about as the sex hormones, that it may be, you know, balancing your stress hormone, your cortisol, and eating better and your insulin gets balanced and it fixes your thyroid. And so there's all these different play and it's like a symphony that they all talk and crosstalk to each other. So sometimes when something is off in one area, it can affect another. And also when I started, you know, doing integrative medicine, it was a little overwhelming because it was like, oh, if I play with estrogen, it's going to affect cortisol and this one's going to affect that one. And it almost became immobilizing because I didn't want to mess up. But then I realized, well, at least I'm looking and thinking about that where most other docs don't, and they're very much in their box and like, I'm only going to deal with estrogen and progesterone, and, you know, where the endocrinologist or the diabetes doctor, I'm only going to talk about, you know, insulin and, you know, glucagon or whatnot, but really everything is a play. And then just another thing that I'd like to sort of bring up is, you know, people often use terminology and they don't really appreciate what it means. So bioidentical hormones, some people mix up as the compounded hormones versus other hormones. But bioidentical hormones, what it really means is the hormone that's molecularly identical to your own. So when I'm giving estrogen or progesterone, I'm going to give you estradiol or maybe a combination of estradiol and estriol, and I give you natural progesterone, where a lot of regular docs assimilate the progestins, which is a synthetic version, an altered molecule, as well as an estrogen that's not estradiol. And our body doesn't metabolize that necessarily the way we do estrogen, like bioidentical estrogen and progesterone. And in fact, Provera, which is the altered or synthetic progestin, and progesterone actually have very different functions. So when we give women progesterone, it binds to the GABA receptor. It helps them with sleep. It, you know, relaxes the uterus. It helps prevent bleeding. You know, it has so many different, and actually has cardiovascular benefits and grows new blood vessels, where a progestin actually may lower your risk of breast cancer. It may, but a progestin for sure increases a woman's risk of breast cancer. It actually doesn't help with sleep. It sometimes actually causes anxiety. It causes bloating. So very symptom profiles, very different. Unfortunately, the government has that even Prometrium, which is bioidentical progesterone, has the same labeling as the progestin. So it's going to say that it could increase the risk of clots and breast cancer and whatnot. Unfortunately, though, there are studies to show how natural or bioidentical progesterone does not increase a woman's risk to the same extent as, let's say, Provera does. And in fact, there's European data that shows, depend on what progestin or progesterone you use, the risk is different. And that's where a lot of doctors don't appreciate that either. You know, they kind of get the heading that all can, you know, all hormones carry the same risk, when that is not in fact true. And if doctors were educated better to understand the differences, why would they ever prescribe hormones that have higher risk when there's lower risk available? And then the other piece to the bioidentical hormones is there are practitioners out there, including myself, who will compound hormones. So I use both Health Canada approved bioidentical estrogens as well as compounded, depending on different scenarios. So, you know, again, if somebody wants to use regular pharmacy with regular bioidenticals, I have no problem using that. But somebody who may have a slight increased risk of breast cancer or doesn't tolerate the typical dosing, then I'm going to compound it or use it in a different delivery system so that it's easier for the patient to take.
What is the source of a bioidentical?
So a bioidentical progesterone still is made up. So it's not natural per se. So it may come from soy or some yam or something else, and then it's molecularly altered to be bioidentical. So it's still synthesized, but it's molecularly the same. So when your body sees it in the body, it doesn't know it's a different molecule because it's the same. Whereas Provera, like if I showed you a molecule of testosterone and a molecule of estrogen, they look very similar except for different OH groups that hang off. And in fact, they look more similar to each other than Provera, which is the altered molecule to progesterone, and a progesterone molecule. So if I gave you testosterone instead of estrogen, I'm likely going to have a very different outcome, even though the molecules look the same, right? So why would anybody think that two distinct molecules would have the same effect, right? So isn't that kind of a neat thing? Like, I mean, You know, unfortunately, I don't have the pictures to show you. But if you kind of looked at an estrogen molecule and a testosterone, they look very close to each other. But, you know, if I gave you too much testosterone, you're going to have acne, oily skin, and hair loss, and, you know, a deep voice, where if I give you estrogen, that's going to make you more womanlike and, you know, have different different symptom profiles, right? But
okay, so let me just clarify again, because I'm a novice at all of this. And estrogen is this totally synthetic thing that I would get from my doctor. A bioidentical comes
No. So estradiol is bioidentical. So if you're using the term estradiol as opposed to an estrogen, so an estrogen is a class that could have, you know, ethanol, estradiol, like different molecules that, you know, can come. Like birth control pills is a type of an estrogen with a progestin. It's not bioidentical because both of those molecules aren't exactly what our body produces. Okay. So bioidentical means that it's exactly the same biology as us. So whether it's man-made or natural, like it's when the body sees it, it goes, aha, I identify that as part of myself. Whereas when you give a medication that is a altered molecule that has similar function, or at least supposed to have similar function, when the body sees it, it goes, I don't really have those enzymes to break it down, but I still can fit it into this receptor.
Okay, great. That makes a lot more sense. I get it now. Okay.
So the issue is a few issues. A lot of women don't even know when to see their doctor when they're going through perimenopause. They have these changes. It could be mood disorders. As a dentist, believe it or not, I had some female patients coming in their 40s, and one was almost suicidal. And I actually said to her, have you had your hormone panel checked? Have you gone to see your doctor? It never occurred to her. Guess what? She went and she was flatlined. He put her on something, I don't know if it was just regular HRT, and she was fine within a day. But it can be pretty serious. So maybe, Dr. Kaplan, you can talk for a bit about when a patient should come and see you, what kind of assessment you do as compared to a regular clinic, and are doctors still prescribing regular HRT?
So basically, let's just talk about what perimenopause is. So peri means around menopause. And most people would think, oh, peri is the time frame 2 to 5 years before menopause. And that's where their hormones are in huge flux and may start having symptoms. But in reality, we now know that perimenopause can actually start 12 to 15 years before menopause, that there's alteration starting to happen. And one of the first hormones that tends to go out the window is progesterone. And progesterone is women's natural tranquilizer and sleep aid. And again, most doctors only think about estrogen, progesterone as it relates to the lining of the uterus. But in fact, we have receptors for estrogen, progesterone on every cell in our body. So our hormones help with the immune system, our repair system. Each hormone has a different effect on the brain and creating neurotransmitters. So when you lose progesterone and women have much more estrogen on board, things you might notice is more irritability, more PMS, more sleep problems, lighter sleep, more irritable. In terms of uterine things, you're going to see irregular periods, maybe heavy periods, short periods, long period, bleeding all the time. And then other things could be weight gain, fatigue, bloating. So what happens in perimenopause is the estrogen actually can bounce up and down, and you can have symptoms of excess and not enough. And also progesterone being low, you actually burn 300 calories less when you're low progesterone, hence why the weight gain. And then women actually can make in perimenopause 30% more estrogen than they did 10 years earlier and often are making significantly less progesterone. So estrogen is like a fertilizer. It causes the lining of the uterus to grow, the cells, the breast cells to divide. And it's progesterone that's kind of the halt. It sort of, you know, negates the stimulation of the estrogen at the breast. And the same thing with the lining of the uterus. So I don't necessarily need to do blood work to tell you someone's perimenopausal, because if they tell me they're having heavy irregular periods or they're moody or like all these symptoms, like I go, haha, low progesterone. But I like collecting data points, and so do patients. And so if I can show them in the blood work that, you know, hey, look, your estrogen progesterone ratio is off, or catch the blood work to show that your estrogen is really high, that's going to be helpful for the patient to understand. Look, now a lot of doctors might say, well, you know, the numbers change every day and we're a moving target. And that is so totally true in perimenopause. But, you know, I've worked at fertility clinics, so I can tell you based on someone's FSH, LH, estrogen, progesterone, where they were in the cycle or what's happening. And again, like I've done this so long that I listen to people's stories and I can already pick out what vitamins or nutrients they're going to be low on, what hormones they're going to be low on. I do the blood work that's confirmatory, but I've already put them on something half the time. And then they come back and I go, ha, look, you were right. Right. And often, you know, I've seen some really profound cases, just like you were sort of talking about how this one person was like debilitated and started hormones and how quickly. Like, you know, I've seen VP of banks and companies who were put on disability because of perimenopausal symptoms. And all I did was put them on progesterone cream of anything, because again, conventional docs don't believe progesterone cream works. And, you know, put them on the cream, and lo and behold, within a month, they were back to their pre-functioning level, able to go back to work. So, you know, I think proof is in the pudding. And, you know, so I think it's really important to listen to the story. It's important to, I do blood work. So I do a very extensive blood panel, usually at least on the first time, and then follow-ups are depending on what I'm looking at. But I basically look at all the hormones. I look at metabolic markers like insulin and, you know, your sugar controls and thyroid and your cortisol. And I'm looking at bees and magnesium and zinc. And so I'm looking at all these micronutrients, because again, if we're low on these micronutrients, again, if the body doesn't work well, and it's just like, okay, let's figure out how we're going to replace those. And all of a sudden, like often a lot of times women may have symptoms, but they're not ready to start hormones, that sometimes just like, you know, tuning up the body with the right nutrients and de-stressing them and whatnot, all of a sudden they feel a lot better. So when I go to balance someone's hormones, it's not always using hormones. It could be, right, you know, fixing the diet and teaching them to meditate. You know, there's so many different aspects.
I was going to ask that. That's great. Also, I was going to say that symptoms of peri or even during menopause are so varied. I know personally, mine was gut related. I didn't have any of the typical symptoms. Mine was totally in the gut. And who would have ever thought that a symptom of menopause were gut disturbances?
Right. And that's the hard one, because again, you know, a lot of practitioners don't appreciate it. And even with what I do, like we would start doing other things first and then, okay, let's look at cleaning up the guts. And also a lot of women in perimenopause and, yeah, well, once they're menopause, they're stopped bleeding. But like during that perimenopause, when they're bleeding like stink, their iron is, you know, decreased. And when your iron's really low, it blocks thyroid. So then all of a sudden they have all these hypothyroid symptoms. And really it's like control the bleeding. Maybe if you can't tolerate iron, get an iron infusion, because that will fix things very quickly. And then things are much better. And usually you have to manage then the estrogen progesterone balance, because otherwise they're going to continue to bleed. So that's really important.
I have two questions. In postmenopausal women, can an imbalance in hormones cause insulin sensitivity to increase?
For sure. Yeah. So like, again, anything that's off within the body can cause a whole bunch of different symptoms, but, you know, the estrogen dominance does increase insulin resistance. You know, there's a lot of people who have polycystic ovaries. So if they're eating a lot of carbs, that will also push them to have more symptoms. So, you know, it's, you know, doing what I do, I also do a lot of genetics. And what I found is like, you know, epigenetics is really important. So what is that? So basically our genetics is, you know, our genes load the gun, but it's our environment that pulls the trigger. And so we may have all these predispositions and then, you know, we're not eating great or we're having nutrient deficiencies or whatever, or toxic exposure, like whatever it is, that can make things worse. So that my job is really to kind of reduce, you know, the epigenetic effects that are bad and improve and work on improving things that will help their genes, like turn off bad genes and upregulate good genes, right?
Right. Right.
And actually, I just want to mention one more thing. So in perimenopause, like one of the big symptoms for me was, okay, so we talked about weight and, you know, fatigue and whatnot. But another big thing was the light switch went off on my libido. And it was, you know, it was very hard because I love my husband and it was like, oh, I don't feel like doing it. Right. You know, sometimes doing hormone replacement, sometimes using testosterone or oxytocin may be very helpful, but not always. And, you know, like I said, in the last little while, I've been focusing on women's sexual health. And that's where, you know, I started, you know, I heard about the O-Shot more than 10 years ago. And people kept saying, oh, yeah, you should be doing it. You should get it yourself, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, I wasn't ready. And, you know, I basically started this about a year or so ago. And, you know, between the O-Shot and the Viviv, like for me, it was like a world of difference to go from, you know, not ever wanting to have sex to, wow, that was good. Let's do it again. you know, so, and I think that's an important part of people's lives. Like so many people are, you know, they age and then like, it's sort of something that falls off of the wayside, but it's an important piece in people, you know, in relationships and well-being that it's important to talk about.
So this is a beautiful segue into the O-Shot and Viviv. And okay, we'll get to me later, but I have done actually both treatments and I will talk about my experience a little bit, but I do want to say that it's a very common statement to hear women, generally menopausal or postmenopausal women, say, it's too painful to have sex. I've just stopped having sex. And they don't know that they can do anything about it. They've just accepted that that's the rest of their life. It's actually quite debilitating on many different levels. I think it's just wonderful that we're talking about this because the focus has been on men. On Viagra, Cialis, how can we improve men's pleasure? And finally, we're talking about women. How about you elaborate a little bit on both the O-Shot and Viviv and the difference between the two?
Sure. You know, just to comment on the blue pill. So yeah, like, you know, we reached the 25-year anniversary on Viagra. So it's been out a really long time. And it's only in the last little bit, all of a sudden, now we're starting to talk about women's libido and, you know, medications that they've tried for, you know, women's libido, unfortunately, hasn't been all that successful. And, you know, Health Canada and FDA approval has taken a really long time. You know, so with treatments that we have at Vitality, you know, like I said, we do the O-Shot, which is PRP. So let's just talk, what is PRP? So PRP stands for platelet-rich plasma. And so basically what we're doing is patients come in, we do a blood draw, we spin it, we get their growth factors, and then we're injecting it back into in the private area. So a lot of people go, oh, don't want that. But technically, like what we do is we freeze people and people really don't feel much. The only patient that may have a little bit of symptoms is somebody who we're treating for lichen sclerosis. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Again, the O-shot, what we're doing is we're injecting some PRP into the clitoral area and then just under the urethra and the vaginal area. And usually we have stuff left over that we can put in any area the woman's having discomfort. So what does the O-shot do? So it helps regenerate nerves and tissues and blood vessels. It increased, which is really was interesting to me, was that and it increases sensitivity and desire. Because one of the biggest complaints I get in my clinic is like, you know, my mojo's gone and I want it back. And so, you know, replacing hormones is helpful, but it's not the, you know, big bang for your buck either always. You know, the O-shot, is it like there is definitely a brain and clitoral connection. And in fact, that they've done, I think, MRIs where women would think of a sexual event as someone playing down there, and they'll see that in the brain it highlights as if you were touching. So basically the PRP down there seems to help women with their desire. They say that they'll get a little more tingly. Now, every woman's different. And, you know, like I've had young girls in their 20s and 30s get one O-shot and they are happy campers. Like their lubrication's better, their sensitivity's better. They don't have to work so hard to orgasm. And they're like, I want to do it again. In an older woman, like the perimenopause and the menopause, and again, it depends if your hormones are replaced, how good, you know, everything's like, you know, how good your relationship and whatever. But the O-shot, you tend to need two or three if you're older. And each shot you, doesn't mean that doing one's not going to do anything, but each shot you do, it was like, oh, that was good. Can I be better? Let's do another one and another one. And so that's where, and it's good to sort of stack them so you get more benefit than doing them individually far apart. So that's what I've seen. And so basically women will report, again, increased vaginal lubrication, less pain with intercourse, increased sensitivity, wanting to do it more often. And it does improve to some degree, but not in a lot, in terms of incontinence, so meaning leaking. So it helps a little bit with urge incontinence and a little bit with stress incontinence. But like the Viviv or the Femilift that we have at the clinic does a way better job in terms of stress urinary incontinence. And so we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then the O-shot or PRP down there also helps for women who have vestibulitis. So that's an inflammatory condition around the opening of the vagina. And a lot of women have a lot of pain and don't want to have sex because it hurts. And then the other condition that it helps is lichen sclerosis. So again, that's another inflammatory condition where the women start losing their anatomy. So they, you know, the clitoral hood can start attaching to the clitoris and it closes over. Their labia minora start disappearing. They tend to have the opening narrow. They tend to have pain with intercourse. Sometimes they, the first symptom they may start having is they have itch and they're thinking, oh, I have a yeast infection. But in fact, it's this inflammatory condition. And so a lot of women who've come in for the O-shot, you know, I look at their anatomy and I'm like, oh, did you know you have lichen sclerosis? And had they gone to another clinic, because a lot of other clinics are always trying to, you know, mimic or do things, but they don't really actually have the training to identify the lichen sclerosis or help treat that. You know, they're more like, oh, I'm an injector and oh, I'll put PRP down there, right? Where I have a, you know, strong gynae background and, you know, have seen these conditions. And, you know, I used to do circumcisions. I did 3 months of an OB rotation. Like, so I know how to identify and treat. And some women you know, the PRP will help reduce the inflammation. It somehow helps regulate the immune system, and their symptoms resolve, and sometimes their anatomy comes back. And in some women where the clitoral hood has attached to the clitoris, like I will do a with a blunt instrument, help open that up when I'm doing the O-shot. So they get all these extra benefits for that. So anyway, so that is kind of the O-shot. And then we have the Vaviv, which is a radio frequency device. And it basically helps women with vaginal laxity. So somebody who's had babies, or just, you know, some people, their collagen isn't so great, so things are looser. So it helps create new collagen and elastin. It helps create more collagen and elastin under the urethra. So it helps women with stress urinary incontinence. I've had tons of patients who, you know, had significant stress urinary incontinence, was willing to put up with it. They were offered surgery, or they didn't want to do surgery, and they've done the Vaviv, and they have actually, you know, a high percent of them are actually cured that night, and if not in a month. But really the benefit sort of takes up to 6 months to see the full effect. A lot of people get results quite quickly. And unfortunately, Susan was one of those who took a little longer.
But I have here to report. I'm here to report. It's been, well, the Vaviv, it's fantastic. The Vaviv. So it was totally comfortable. It wasn't painful. In fact, it was relaxing. The Vaviv treatment, after you get over the fact that someone is in your vaginal area, I have to say, it's kind of strange, but, and the O shot was, oh my God, it wasn't painful at all. It takes a short period of time. You don't feel anything, at least I didn't. And I can tell you, it is pretty remarkable. And it's not just it's for single women too. I mean, this is because it's your clitoral area, and I mean, it's for everybody. And it's pretty incredible. And I only had one O shot. I still have to do a few more. The question I was going to ask you is, after you've done this series of treatments, are you supposed to do a maintenance every year? How long does this last?
Right. So that, again, it depends what treatment we're talking about. Often we'll say that the Vaviv is a one-time treatment, but like in reality, we're aging. And like, so if you're overweight, again, depending on your collagen, you know, are you constipated and always stressing out the private area? Like, are you a runner? Are you doing things that are going to damage the tissues that are setting you up for, you know, not having the best outcomes? So most people don't need another Vaviv, although in the States they have commented that some people will do it. And again, how bad was your stress urinary incontinence in the first place? Like, if you were really bad and the collagen was really not great and you're a runner and all these other things, yeah, you might get another Vaviv. And then in terms of the O-shot, again, so we're rejuvenating the area, but you're still aging, right? And so everybody's different, you know, what's your lifestyle like? What else is going on? You know, so some women may be great, never need it again. Or some people were like, hey, that was amazing for the last year and a bit. I want to tune up. So there's no right or wrong. And also, like you said, like, who's a candidate? So the O-shot, pretty much anybody's a candidate, even young girls or single women. Like, hey, I want to pleasure myself and feel good. Why not? Kind of thing, right? You know, we sort of talk that with autoimmune, or if you're on high dose anti-inflammatories, then you're not going to get the benefit, because part of the O shot is it causes inflammation, and we need your body to, you know, do its work. It's not a total contraindication, but I sort of, like, again, we'll have an honest conversation with the person and say, you're not going to get the same bang for your buck as someone who doesn't have this or has to be on anti-inflammatories, or could we stop it for a period of time? So, you know, again, it's a very individual approach. And then back to the Vaviv again. So, you know, a lot of women after having babies, you know, things are looser and they may have more stress urinary incontinence or no stress urinary incontinence, but, like, you know, their ability to orgasm or feel their partner being a wreck because things are so lax, like sex doesn't feel good, right? So why not fix that so you can enjoy it, right? Like, I mean, I think a lot of parents, you know, they have babies, they're so busy with the babies, they don't have time for sex, and then they have sex and it's more work and it's not pleasurable or whatever, that, you know, the Viviv, both men and women come back saying, oh, thank you for doing the Viviv on my wife. Sex feels great for me now, better. And the women will also say, now I feel the contact as well. So, and then in the perimenopause and the menopausal woman, so you may still have laxity and be dry at the same time where sex feels uncomfortable. But when you do the Viviv, it actually helps the lubrication. And again, because you're creating more collagen and elastin, you get a better fit. The tissues are regenerated. So even someone who's atrophied will actually have, even though it causes more tightness, it actually is better. So it's really interesting to see. And then again, we have the FemiLift, which is a CO2 laser, and it tends to help again with stress urinary continence. And it's, I find it a little bit better for that woman who's very narrowed and tight. And so it will help restore the vaginal lining and create more lubrication, kind of thing. And then combining the Viviv or the FemiLift with O-Shots or PRP is phenomenal, right? Because we're doing one technique and then augmenting it with a different, and they're doing similar and complementary things. And so if you do, let's say, a Viviv and an O-Shot, the O-Shot sensitizes the clitoris, the Viviv sensitizes the G-spot, and you have more lubrication and it's a better fit and your stress urinary continence is gone, so you're not worried about peeing when you're having sex or whatever. I mean, there's so many benefits, and so many women suffer in silence. Like, you know, I didn't really appreciate how many women had stress urinary incontinence. I mean, yes, I would see it on their checkup. Yes, I have this problem, but I really never got into it. Like, how much, what are you doing? You know, and then now that I'm doing this, like, I have questionnaires that are quite extensive, and it's like, wow, like, you know, they worried that they have to know where a bathroom is, they have to wear, they can't wear certain clothes, they have to always bring something extra, they can't jump, they can't do this or that, and it's limiting.
They can't sneeze.
You know, you're worried about sneezing or running for the bus or whatever. So, wow, like, now there's a treatment that, great, maybe I never have to experience that again.
Yeah, it's... I think that people are unaware of what is out there. And it's pretty sad, because sexual pleasure is good for you. It releases endorphins, which is an anti-aging thing on its own. It will build self-esteem. We only have one life. Why not live it to the fullest? And it's an important part if you're single or if you have a partner.
I have a question. Dr. Kaplan, it sounds like you're a blessing to many men and women. And we've been hearing a lot about the physical aspect of what's going on here. And I'm curious about the mental and emotional aspect. And, you know, you talked about the different floors of your center. Is there anything that you work with relationship counseling?
So we do have, like, you know, somebody, so if somebody says that they're having issues, that I may refer for counseling, but like, there's only so much room and space. And, but no, for sure. I mean, if you have a bad relationship, like, you might have great sex afterwards, but it's not necessarily going to fix the relationship. And a lot of women, you know, when they feel emotionally disconnected, or there's been an affair that happened or whatever, I mean, that's an important piece that needs to be fixed, right? So, like, I always joke between men and women, the difference, you know, like, men, I always joke, like, can have the worst day of their life, get shot in the leg, and still have to they have to concentrate not to have an orgasm, right? Where women, if they're distressed, they're not happy, they have their laundry list, like, these are all killjoys for us getting off. So, and we have to work usually to have an orgasm. So it's, our biology is very different.
Right. So Dr. Kaplan's working on the physical. And obviously, as you say, Deborah, there's an emotional, psychological component too.
That's important. But like, those are people who are not seeking me out, right? Like, so people who are seeking me out, like, hey, my relationship's good, I want better sex, help me, right? So, you know, it depends where patients are coming from, you know.
It's amazing to me that it's young people who are seeing you as well. And that actually freaks me out. I would think it would be postmenopausal women or menopausal women. So,
well, a lot of them are already like, I'm past that. Like, I don't need that, right? Unless they get into a new relationship or somebody pushes them to say, like, hey, let's do this. Like, I know it's not working for you. What could we do to make that better for you?
Mm-hmm. I know that I was using testosterone prior. Yeah. And I mean, it's, I can't even tell you that. I mean, I don't use testosterone anymore. Maybe I should be for my hormone balance.
So the one thing about testosterone is like, you have to be very cautious. So, you know, testosterone definitely helps women's libido and ability to orgasm, but the risk is could be hair loss, acne, oily skin stuff. So for me, unfortunately, I'm genetically predisposed to lose my hair and to convert hormones to dihydrotestosterone. So I tried testosterone and it was like, wow, that was good, but I lost my hair. So I was like, forget that. You know, sex or hair, and I picked hair.
Hair.
But now at least with the Oshot and the Viviv, I don't have to worry about hormones. And that's another good point is for women who have breast cancer, you know, these treatment, because a lot of, you know, they lose their hormones, they have vaginal dryness, potentially vaginal atrophy, and at least the Oshot and the Viviv or Femilift can be helpful to help maintain the health of their vagina and as well help with them with orgasm.
On that note, should women who have breast cancer in the family be on any HRT, even bioidentical?
So my mom died of breast cancer and I'm on hormones, right? So everything we do in life is a risk-benefit ratio. My belief is that the hormones that I use are lower risk, but nothing is without risk. Like, we decide to cross the street because we need to get to the other side, but you can get hit by a car, right? So I try to mitigate those risks by, again, replacing deficient nutrients, balancing your hormones, right? You know, stress is the biggest killer, right? So, you know, so we try to do it in a safe environment, and it's an individual approach and a conversation about that.
Is estrogen the fountain of youth hormone for women?
I think it's a combination. I don't think it's just estrogen. Like, you know, estrogen helps make serotonin. So it's your happy neurotransmitter. It helps with acetylcholine, which is your memory. You know, it helps with collagen, bone health. You know, it helps with, you know, libido, but it has to be paired with progesterone, which is what binds to the GABA receptor and makes us calm and helps us sleep. And so I think hormones in general, again, help with repair and regeneration, help our immune system, and increases our stem cells, which is the fountain of youth. So all of it together is what I would sort of say.
I have a few other questions. You're a very busy doctor. And I'm just wondering what your day looks like, what your health regimen looks like.
So I would say I practice what I preach. So I get my blood done. I've done my genetics. I know what I'm at risk for. I basically take my supplements geared to my genes, but also based on my history. I basically, you know, try to get 8 hours sleep. I wake up in the morning. I meditate. I do an I Awake app, which does brain entrainment. So I call it meditation for dummies. I believe it keeps me sane. You know, I get up, I make healthy breakfast. I eat healthy. I don't eat gluten and I'm not keto at all. I would say I'm a very balanced, maybe a little more Mediterranean type diet. I exercise 2 to 3 times a week. I love Pilates. In the winter, not this last two winters, but I snowboard. You know, I'm active.
So do you still have springboard Pilates at your clinic?
At the moment, we're on hold. We do have private sessions for Pilates kind of thing, because core strength and mobility is really important. So we sort of have the private sessions. Through the springboard Pilates, the springboards, can't see my muscles, but causes long, elongated, good muscle tone, and great for core. You know, I have a better body now than I did before having kids. So I'm not, not many people can say that. I always joke, I'm like a fine wine getting better with time.
We all are, right, ladies? Yeah,
perfect. What else? Yeah. So basically I take vitamins every day and I'm on hormones. So I take estrogen and progesterone and I go for my regular mammograms and, and I think I have, there's the optimist versus the pessimist or the survivor versus the victim mentality. And I would say that I'm very much the survivor and warrior. Although I guess I don't want like say warrior because that means you're always fighting and I don't want to think that I'm fighting. I think,
you're proactive.
I'm, I walk a line that's been difficult. I've had a lot of, personal tragedies and trying to build the clinic and be very different out on the limb being, an integrative doctor. But I think that I make a difference in the world and hopefully I get payback in the good way.
Absolutely. And if you were trapped on a desert island, what would be your supplement of choice that you would want with you?
I've gotten asked that and, I would think for most part, the complex vitamin B would be the one thing because I would be getting vitamin D from the sun. Hopefully I'm on a desert island and I'm relaxed. So I'm not losing my magnesium. And Bs are so important. They're good for fat and carb metabolism. They're mood stabilizer. They help with energy. They help with methylation and detox. So I'm going to say that a B complex is the one thing that everybody should probably be on.
Do you do B vitamin B infusions at your clinic?
So we do B injections and we were doing IV therapy, but we put that on hold at the moment.
Okay. I was going to ask you for a few longevity tips for our listeners, but I really think you've been talking about longevity for the entire episode. So I don't think we need to go there. Now, where can our listeners find you, Dr. Kaplan?
So again, I am at Vitality MD. We're 1769 Avenue Road. So it's Midtown Toronto, Avenue Road and the 401. The website is vitalitymd.com. Facebook and Instagram, I think is Vitality MD Tour. Check out the website. There's tons of educational information there and videos. And I have a YouTube channel as well.
Fabulous. And I'm going to write this all out on the show notes as well. And it's been a great interview. I've learned a lot. And I'm sure audiences have enjoyed this. I want to thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very informative.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Now you can share your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.